House and Anthems.
This is for interest only. Okay, coming up. Yeah, first it was Björk with Mycelia from her newest record. And then it was Delia Derbyshire from the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. What a futuristic track. When was it made?
Yesterday?
No.
I don't know. The Zeros?
No, it was made in the 60s on a fucking tape machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
This was actually found in the archives after her death. I mean, now it seems like she was ahead of a lot of us, actually. So, yeah, I just want to play a track from Koala Pandit. He was a black music artist living in the States in times when it was very difficult to be black. So he put on a turban and pretended he was from India, and he married a white woman. And he had a gig on TV where he was playing organ, you know, for like entertainment during the day. I think a lot of American women fell in love with that dreamy look below the turban. His peculiar organ music is somewhat stunning. Just listen to how he uses the pushing of the keys as percussion. Here we go. Koala Pandit. Trance Dance.
Is your house.
Yeah. since you've been there. And now you've disappeared somewhere. I got a space. You found some better place, and I miss you.
Yep. This awakens a lot of memories from when I lived in Barcelona, and we went sometimes to after hours, and this was played a lot, both at the club and during the after hours. So, but I particularly remember the sunrises and this track and the warmth of the summer coming up. Yeah, time to go for a swim in Barceloneta. Cool. Talking about being older, wiser, better, I think a lot of older artists who have a huge back catalog, they enjoy when the younger generation is kind of picking up on their material and perhaps renewing the material by making it in a new version. And here's an example that I think needs no introduction.
How can life be what you want it to be? You're frozen when your heart's not open.
To my love, you didn't make me the ways for your love. Go on my knees and I pray to the Lord. After all, you have taken it all. Everything I got, you have taken it all. Baby, I've been there for so long. Now you say you don't want this no more. I've been waiting, waiting for a sign. You delay me playing, wasting time. Don't make me wait in line. Don't make me waste my time. I've been waiting all my life. And I thought you loved me. I thought you chose me. I tried to take care of your heart, but it's frozen. Why can't you show me? Don't leave me open. I thought you told me that you're ready, but you're broken.
Oh, my house and your house. Mit hus, I dit hus. Mit hus, I dit house.
Thank you.
This was a track of mine actually called
Idin Faun,
which you can translate to In Your Embrace. All right, we are lacking towards the end of this episode. Older, wiser, better. And yeah, the other day I was in Copenhagen and a friend of mine just got a little puppy. Actually the same kind as my dog, Echo, Border Collie. And so we went for a walk with these two amazing creatures. My friend is also an artist, so we were these two spaced out artists walking together with our dogs. And at one point I said, oh, look at the ducklings. A duck mama was there with her ducklings and they were swimming around. And then we walked on and then my friend says, pointed up to the sky saying, look at these starlings. And I looked up and I was like, wow, the formations that they were making, there were so many of them. When I got home, I started to research the starlings a little bit. First of all, I found that a starling is a sampler. No, really, it is. It can sample anything you present it. Like, exactly. It doesn't sound like a papagoi, how do you say that? Cockatoo or something like that. The sample sounds pretty much like what you just heard. Anyway, I made this track thinking about how it was looking up at the sky, seeing all these starlings, and just remembering this beautiful walk with my friend. It was kind of special. All right, see you next time, and thank you for being an ear.
My house and your house.
Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police. Et ça marche. Ouais, je crois ouais, que ça marche. Normalement, ouais. Moi, la police à mort, c'est ça. Moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police, moi je connais une chanson. Qui énerve la police. Et ça marche. Ouais, je crois ouais, que ça marche. Normalement, ouais. Moi, je suis déjà sortie de garde à vue en avance pour ça. Hein. La police à mort, c'est ça. Moi, je connais une chanson qui énerve la police. Moi, je connais une chanson qui énerve la police. Moi, je connais une chanson.
Maintenant, à la frontière, surtout si vous êtes avec les filles, ces militaires algériens, s'ils vous arrêtent, qu'est-ce qu'ils font? Ils prennent les filles, ils parlent les violer. Et vous êtes là assis, vous n'avez pas de force, vous ne pouvez pas parler parce que si tu parles, tu risques d'être tué et enterré là-bas. Et puis, pour eux, la vie continue. Ils s'en foutent de l'être humain, en fait, en quelque sorte des migrants. Et vous êtes assis sans force. Vous voyez votre soeur pleurer, mais vous n'avez pas la force de l'aider.
Door de eeuwen heen is de mens onophoudelijk geteisterd door rampen en plagen, pesten en epidemieën. Ontelbaar in aantal en meedogenloos in hun uitwerking zijn de natuurrampen, die de argeloze mens van buitenaf overvallen. Maar wellicht nog verschrikkelijker, nog moordender en besmettelijker zijn de plagen, de pesten en de epidemieën die ontspruiten aan het brein van de mens zelf. Een van de gruwelijkste van deze ideeënspinsels is het communisme.
Engeland, 1830.
Miljoenen kinderen van nauwelijks 10 jaar oud sterven in de fabrieken en kolenmijnen waar zij te werk gesteld zijn. Hongersnood en besmettelijke ziekten teisteren de werkende klasse en zet haar aan tot misdadigheid. Een rechtstreeks uitvloeisel van deze criminaliteit is het denkbeeld van de dictatuur van het proletariaat dat al spoedig onder de werkende klasse post vatte. De ontwerper van dit idee was de Duitse laaggeschoolde koopman. De eerste die het in de praktijk bracht, de kaalhoofdige Russische demagoog Vladimir Iljitsch Lenin. Zie afbeelding 1 in uw tekstboek. Lenins heerschappij over het Russische Rijk werd na een hevige interne machtsstrijd overgenomen door een man wiens naam een nog verschrikkelijker klank heeft. Jozef Stalin. Zie afbeelding 2 in uw tekstboek.
Наступил великий день победы над Германией. Фашистская Германия поставлена на колени Красной Армии и войсками наших союзников.
13 март, opstand in Wenen.
18 en 19 maart, barricadegevechten in Berlijn.
April, Praag, Milaan en Venetië zijn in oproer.
Mei, revolutie in Napels.
Juni, Parijs vecht opnieuw op de barricaden. Oktober. Tweede opstand in Wenen.
Overal wordt de fakkel van het verzet geheven.
Strijdzangen van de arbeiders daveren door de hoofdsteden van Europa.
De grootste dreiging is dat zij de wereld wil veroveren en dat zij al aardig op weg zijn om dit te doen. We zien steeds meer Russische schepen in de Middellandse Zee. En denk maar aan het Midden-Oosten en het Verre Oosten. Proberen steeds meer invloed uit te oefenen. En kijk in Amerika. De Zwarte Panthers bijvoorbeeld. De Black Panther Movement. Proberen ook de Amerikaanse regering te ondermijnen. En ook in andere landen. Door vooral in Europa met hun propaganda.
Aan het gezamenlijke front in het oosten... Tegen het allen belagende bolsjewisme worden de fundamenten van deze nieuwe Europese orde gelegd.
De ongebreidelde machtsdrang van de Rode Horden deed hen tot diep in Europa doordringen. En zou hen nog verder hebben doen opdringen wanneer het Vrije Westen zich niet tijdig had teweergesteld... Middels de NAVO, de Noord-Atlantische Verdragsorganisatie, waarin de democratisch bestuurde volkeren van onze aarde hun krachten bundelden. Zie afbeelding 3 en 4, Evert Vermeer en professor Beel.
Kort geleden, mijn geachte toehoorders, was ditzelfde Vrijthof getuigen van uw massale opkomst, van uw ondubbelzinnig verzet tegen het communistisch gevoed, dat geheel Europa, ja de gehele wereld, ten ondergang wil voeren. ten einde op de puinhopen der westerse beschaving haar dictatuur te vestigen. En hedenavond? Hedenavond zijt ge wederom hierheen getogen in grote getalen om getuigenis af te leggen van uw ernstige wil uw bijdrage te leveren aan de bevestiging en versterking van ons democratisch staatsbestel.
Geachte luisteraars, het ijzeren gordijn sluit zich hoe langer hoe meer. Maar niemand kan doen alsof hij niet weet wat het lot is van de miljoenen menselijke wezens achter dat ijzeren gordijn. West-Europa sluit zich, God zij gedankt, nauwer aaneen. Ter verdediging van zijn eigen vrije levensmogelijkheden. Maar niet alleen daarvoor. Ook ter verdediging van het recht der vrije en verantwoordelijke menselijke persoonlijkheid van al diegenen die thans verdoemd zijn tot het slavend bestaan in de hel van de bolsjewistische tirannie en die uitzien in een oneindig en gekweld verlangen naar de bevrijding die zij verwachten uit het Westen. Ik dank u voor uw aandacht.
Het doel van het communisme is om de hele wereld te veroveren. Ze zullen niet rusten voordat dit gebeurt. Dat is de ideologie. Dat is hun ideologie.
De dreiging van het communisme openbaart zich niet alleen in de vorm van militaire expansie. Ook binnen de vrije wereld wroeten hun agenten. Zonder uniformen aan, maar daarom des te gevaarlijker. In de fabrieken en bedrijven proberen zij de vredelievende Nederlandse burgers tot hun verderfelijke leer te verleiden. Zelfs in onze vaderlandse pers, in kranten, radio en tv openbaart zich hun drang tot vernietiging van alles wat in 20 eeuwen beschaving is opgebouwd. Afbeelding 5, Max Levin.
Zijn er sterke Peking-invloeden in de Nederlandse radio en televisie?
Zeer sterk. Vanaf de VPRO, vanaf VPRO, vooral op vrijdagmiddag, tot en met de PSP-programma's via de radio.
Noem dus namen van mensen die bij de omroep werken of bij de pers werken en die volgens u onder invloed van Peking of Cuba staan.
Ik dacht er een paar VPRO-medewerkers die je van elke vrijdagmiddag kan genieten. Aan John Jansen van Galen, aan Wouter Gortzak. Als het twee exponenten. Maar tegelijkertijd vullen zij niet alleen functies bij de radio en tv, maar ook in de dagblad of in de weekbladpers.
Voor alle inlichtingen over onze serie Grote Momenten uit de Moderne Wereldgeschiedenis, VPRO, Postbus 11, Hilversum. Over 14 dagen deel 2. De Elf Stedentocht.
Patapoe was een hondje, nu een radiootje.
Неаполитанская песня Нинетта. Музыка Пергалеи. Исполняет Александр Станько. У рояля Татьяна Степановна Малинина.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Let's go back to the Soviet Union in the 1950s.
There was a terrible hunger for anything that came from West. Anything at all, doesn't matter what.
This is Alexander Genis, Russian writer and broadcaster.
For example, lighter. Can you imagine how important was lighter? American lighter was like treasure.
But a lighter is just a lighter. During the Cold War, what many Russians really craved were expressions of creativity and art, much of which came from the West. They wanted Western music.
There was, of course, American Western music. And Western music was incredibly important. They were crazy about jazz.
They were crazy about jazz and rock and roll.
Of course, Elvis Presley.
And it was extremely hard to smuggle in vinyl records that were made in the West. And if a prized album did make it in, ordinary Russians couldn't make copies to sell or trade to their fellow comrades because vinyl, the material itself, was impossibly expensive and scarce.
So we didn't have any records. That was, I didn't even see a record, I think, in my life, Western record, because it was dangerous.
Soviet censorship was endless, but so was Russian ingenuity.
That's Davia Nelson. She and Nikki Silva are the Kitchen Sisters, and they produce the Radiotopia podcast Fugitive Waves.
So the dissident music counterculture produced bootleg records on anything they could get their hands on.
Before the tape recorders, they used X-ray film of your bones.
They used X-ray film of your bones.
This is Sergei Khrushchev.
And they tape on this the music from the United States or from Europe. So it was музыка на костях, music on the bones.
Music on the bones. Rock on ribs, rib rock, skeleton music, bone records.
Yes, that Khrushchev.
My father was Nikita Khrushchev, the head of the Soviet Union from 1953 to 1964. The beginning of all this American music then. Jazz, twist, rock and roll, everything coming there. They did not broadcast it from the official radio.
The Kitchen Sisters first learned of Bone Music Records when they interviewed Sergei Khrushchev about the dissident activity taking place in people's tiny kitchens in the new Khrushchev apartments that his father had built in the 1960s.
These private kitchens became the hot spots of the culture, the place to gather for the free expression of ideas. With the KGB lurking almost everywhere and nearly every phone line bugged, these individual kitchens made it possible for friends to gather privately and speak their minds. With vodka flowing and pickles and herring piled high on the tables, these dissident kitchens became unofficial lecture halls, nightclubs, art galleries, bars, dating services. The place where politics were debated, forbidden music was played, and underground art and literature circulated. It was amazing the lengths people went to share uncensored culture and politics, the risks they took to see a forbidden painting, read a banned book, or listen to a song. Music on Bones is the legal production of records on exposed X-ray film.
This is Xenia Vituleva. She's a visiting professor at Columbia in the Department of History and Theory of Architecture.
And it was a dissident practice in the USSR, primarily during the Cold War.
The first studio which produced records on RIPS was a Golden Dog.
Named in tribute to Nipper, RCA Victor's famous dog logo.
Golden Dog.
The Golden Dog Gang.
Ruslan Bogoslovsky, who was engineer, got the idea to use old X-ray.
Bogoslovsky reverse engineered a record duplication machine that a friend of his had brought from the West and put it to work. Raw vinyl plastic and other durable materials to make records was basically non-existent. So Bogoslovsky tried to use whatever was available to scratch out copies of the records that were smuggled in. Coated paper was the most common source material on which to print copies, but those records only lasted a few plays on a turntable. Bootlegs could only make a big impact in the black market if they were more durable and had higher fidelity. That's when he thought of using discarded X-rays.
Taken from the hospital trash and medical archives in order to make a kind of phonographic recording. A copy of a Western vinyl record.
But to talk only about the ingenuity of Bone records doesn't really do them justice.
They're ghostly, beautiful, haunting, transparent, and just ever so slightly creepy. X-ray plates thicker than the ones we grew up with. Ribs, feet, tarsals, metatarsals, femurs, tumors, kidneys, all with a slight etching of circles of sound scratched onto them.
And you can see the rough edges of the craft, which reflects the level of hardship that was being overcome.
These bone records came out of what Russians called totalny deficit, total shortages of absolutely everything.
That's Anya von Bremsen. She's a food and culture writer.
So they would take an X-ray, they would cut it, trim it the shape of a record.
I'm looking on the very rough made circles of X-ray. You see how uneven the cut, because it's made with scissors. And you can see St. Louis blues through the record. You can see the X-ray of skull. It's like from Hamlet, right?
These records were cut with the manicure scissors.
Then with a cigarette, they would burn the middle out so you could actually play it.
These strange homemade creations were eventually put on the market. The black market, of course.
It was shadow industry, like moonshining. It was pop culture moonshining. My brother.
Radio Patapu komt naar jou toe met onze uitzendkracht.
And a much colder war began. Then jazz and rock and roll was the music of the enemy, and it was completely forbidden. Russian jazz stars were arrested and sent to gulags. So you could no longer listen to music by Ella Fitzgerald or by records by Bill Haley, who came a bit later. But young people wanted to listen to that music. But also, you couldn't listen to music by these people. No, these were Russians or Russian-speaking. They were émigrés. They were massively popular. Peter Lashenko, Alla Belanova. They'd been big stars, but they didn't come back to the Soviet Union to join in the great communist project. They became effectively traitors. So their repertoire, even if they were singing about love, even if they were singing about the nobility of the working classes, became forbidden. But also, music by these people was forbidden. And they were Russians living in the Soviet Union. Now, on the right, it's Vadim Kozin, another huge star. But he was arrested, probably for being homosexual. And his repertoire as a result, and his records, became forbidden. On the left is Arkady Sevigny. He came a bit later, but he represents a musician who performed in the gulag or bard Russian folk styles that were hugely popular, singing about criminals and prostitutes and the dark side of socialist realism. Now, the authorities didn't like that stuff at all. Also, Arkady Sevigny, he sang his own songs. It was forbidden to sing and record your own songs in the Soviet Union. You had to be a member of the Composers' Union. And whole rhythms were banned. The tango was banned. The foxtrot was banned. It was said that the foxtrot represented a man and a woman making love. Now, if you've seen me do a foxtrot, you will know that is definitely not the case. But you have dances banned, the saxophone was banned, Western music's banned, jazz music's banned, music by Russian stars from before the war is banned. You have a whole culture cut off from its culture. It's like somebody saying to us, you can no longer listen to the Beatles. And of course, the state completely controlled the recording industry. There was no alternative. There is no other way to get this music apart from in very small quantities at high cost. But then, something amazing happened. A